Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
I'm going to just jump into this because I know that Tyron's got a lot of good things to say to us, and so I want to give him as much time as possible. For those of you that don't know, Tyron and Chris represent NCMR, our partners. We partner with them in the gospel, in the kingdom. They are an amazing group of friends to have, and Tyron carries an anointing with him that I believe we are all going to benefit from tonight. And tomorrow, as we hear Tyron and Chris, we're going to benefit from them even greater. And so let's just come ready to receive. Let's open our hearts and let the Lord do what he wants to do in and through our lives tonight. So, Tyron, welcome. Thanks, over to you, buddy.
Awesome. You got this. Thank you. Great. Woo! Wow. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
How's everybody doing?
Great. Great. Yes.
Wonderful privilege to be back in Texas. Yes. And you guys have made the news quite a bit recently. I heard you actually got snow here. Wow. How does that feel? We get snow all the time. And I know it was pretty bad here, so we've been praying for you guys. We really have. And, man, I just, something significant God's doing in this nation, but also in this state. And we are super excited just to come and see and be a part of it. Come hear the Father and what he's saying. Come and respond to him, receive from him. These are significant days that we're living in. And they are challenging days that we're all living in. And I just feel like God really wants to reveal not just more of his plans, but more of himself. I love this whole emphasis, Isaiah 6. I mean, we could just spend the night there. I'm not there to preach on this, but I do want to say this. What I find interesting about Isaiah 6 is Isaiah was a prophet. And prophets carry the word of God. And in this prophet, Isaiah, he had a challenge because the nation was in tailspin and things were bad, really bad. And this godly king had lost his way and now died. And many things were unknown and there was shaking going on, similar to perhaps what we're facing right here, right now. And so this prophet needed, as a prophet, a word from the Lord to declare to God's people. That's what prophets do, right? But God decided, actually, this prophet did not just need a word from this father of ours. This prophet needed to see God again. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. God didn't give him just a word and a commission. He revealed himself afresh. And I do want to suggest that perhaps this weekend there's some words that God is gonna and wants to speak. And the word of God is enough. But in saying that, I do feel for some of us, the Lord wants to reveal himself again in this time, in this season, when everything that is and can be shaken is being shaken. And it's not all bad, although it's been tough. God's revealing himself and his plans and his purposes afresh and anew for people today, to understand what it is he's doing. And so I'm going to try this evening, attempt the impossible. And I think every preach is impossible because just to get through a preach for me is impossible. But thanks, Marco. But I do want to just thank you for this opportunity and thank you for our friendship and partnership and thank you for showing up this evening and hopefully this weekend. And we, as much as we carry words for you guys and we really wanting to minister what we believe God's put in our hearts, we're here to learn with you. Amen. There are no experts in this kingdom. And if you found one, run far from them, because right now we don't want any experts in anything. We are followers of Jesus. Amen. Who keep following Jesus and growing in revelation of who he is and what he's called us to do. Amen. I realize I have an accent, but I'm an American and I'm proud to be an American. I have an Australian African accent. I don't understand. I sound weird, but so do you. And you all Texans sound even funnier. So we're going to have a lot of fun. I hope if you can understand Marco, you can understand me, because I'm way clearer than him. I don't know where he's from. They don't understand you. But just, I hope you can understand. And I'm saying that at the outset of this weekend, because there's some challenges that God wants to bring to his church in America. And I want to say, as an American to American, this isn't a you better. This is God speaking to us as Americans.
Amen.
that God has got some plans to fulfill through his church in this nation in this season. And it's not this outsider speaking into it. It's us together. I can't believe that God would allow me to be in this nation for such a time as this. You see, most of you were born here, blessed to be living here. And if you don't believe me, just go across the border to Canada and you'll see how blessed we are here in America. Forgive me, Canadians. This is the greatest nation on earth, and I'm not here to present a nationalism today, but I am here to tell you God hasn't left this nation or forgotten about this nation or turned his back on this nation based on the political arena we're living in. Amen. God has a plan, and the Bible has always said it's through his church.
Amen.
And God's now showing us it's through his church.
Yes.
And you were born here, blessed to be born here. I've had the privilege of choosing to live here. You didn't choose. He chose you. But I get to choose to be here. There have been times. I've been stuck in this country now for 12 months straight, which is awesome, but not so awesome given what we've all just gone through. My job, my call is to go to the nations, and I've been stuck in this great nation for 12 months. And I'm not used to that. I'm used to getting a global perspective, not an American perspective. But God has allowed this time and this season globally, but also for us in this great nation to come back to the plans and the purposes of God.
Amen.
And there's some challenge tonight. And it's not God speak to us. It's God speak to me. As individuals, and there's a response, and it's not over, and I know you've made some adjustments, but there are more tonight to make. Would you open your heart and say, show me, Father. Speak to me, Father. Help this man to try and do the impossible tonight and explain a little of what's happening, the season we're in.
Amen.
But also, as important, identifying the season, but also knowing what to do in the season. What is our response? Some of us are just watching and hoping and praying and cheering God on. Others of us are getting in the way of what God's saying, and God's just shaking and doing stuff, and he wants his people, his church, not the leaders, not the prophets, his people, the church, to come into place.
Amen.
And to walk out his plan. He will do whatever he can and wants to do to get our attention. And I think he's got the attention of the church in America again. He has my attention. The alarm clock is sounding.
Amen.
And we're not sleeping through this. And let me tell you, God's not sleeping through this.
Amen.
God's got his plans being worked out right now. And we've got to somehow come to know, what are you doing, God? And how do we partner with you in this incredible thing? We don't want to just be onlookers. We don't want to be spectators. We want to be in the sweet spot of what you're doing, even though we've never been this way before. What a time. Santa Marca, he's got an accent, I got an accent. How would God allow you and me to be in this nation, in this season? Can I say, please hear me, to rewrite the script. To rewrite together history of the church in this nation going forward. He's picked you and I to be here. Do you see that?
Amen.
See, I've yet to meet a person, any believer, anywhere in the world, but certainly here in America, that does not believe God knew this was going to happen. Put your hand up if you don't think this whole pandemic and political arena and the elections and all the stuff you face. Put your hand up if you think God didn't know this was going to happen. And if your hand goes up, we need to pray for you. Because God knows everything.
Hallelujah.
So let me just say, oh, that's cool. God knew that. Okay, well, God also knew that you, my dear friend, would be living in this season, in this region, handpicked by heaven for such a time as this.
Amen.
Yes, awesome God, you knew. But Lord, we don't know what we're doing. And God says, I put you here.
Oh, wow.
And if I knew what was coming, I put you here for what was coming. And I want you to walk in it.
Amen.
And I want you to please understand, I'm not standing up here telling you I've got it all worked out. This has been everything I've known to be shaken. But there's a sweetness in the will of God that God wants to bring his church back to. And I want to talk a little about the purposes of God again and bring us back to that. So would you allow me to challenge you?
Amen.
Would you allow me to offend you? Because I'm offended by what I'm preaching. Would you allow the word of God to challenge you, not to say, I know this, but to actually walk in it and come back to it? Because God is about his business, and he's not hooking us up. He's not backing our plans. He's on his plans and his purposes, and he's just bringing us back to what he's called us to do. If you've got a Bible, go with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1. We've called this week, and I don't know who decided. I think maybe Marco, I'll give him the glory for it, but this is kingdom vision in times of chaos. When I first read what you guys had advertised, it says kingdom in chaos. I was like, whoa, hey, kingdom vision in chaos. I'm like, no, it's not in chaos. We are in chaos, but the kingdom vision is carrying on and actually being more exposed. Destiny, I believe, is revealed more in seasons of confrontation than in seasons of comfort. Hear that. All the stuff that's come at us has caused us to be incredibly uncomfortable. But let me tell you, God reveals destiny way more in times of confrontation than just in seasons of comfort. We don't actually know what we believe when things are comfortable. We think we know. And then suddenly things begin to show and what's inside. And so God, I believe in this season, has revealed more of his destiny and the destiny of his people than ever before. But what I've seen is because we're listening to the wrong people or looking in the wrong places, we've lost some hope. Wow. I believe the Lord is calling us back to what he's called us to when it comes to the hope of God. Amen. I love what Tozer says, A.W. Tozer. He said, a scared world needs a fearless church. I want to suggest the church seems as scared as the world. And that's not an accusation. That's because we've missed the purpose of God in this. We've got to come back to understand there is some weird stuff going on, but there is this fearless church that has a moment in history to step into the gap and actually be the people God's called us to. Not dream about it, not talk about it, be it. Let me tell you, God is not committed to our dream. He's committed to his purpose and plans for us and for the church. I've been reading through the Bible like never before, and I trust you have too. Not looking for answers, just reading God's heart. I want to learn. I want to know. And let me tell you, God is so committed to his purposes. He'll do whatever he wants, whatever it takes to have his purposes fulfilled. I just bravely read through the book of Jonah again, just in my reading. And I was like so shocked how much God will stick to his plan. The word of the Lord comes to Jonah, son of Jonah, whatever. Go to this region, to Nineveh, and prophesy again. And this whole great word of what God wants. And Jonah kind of hears the word. It's like, not ready for me. I'm going elsewhere. The prophet's now on a mission running from God. And then God's problem of Nineveh now moves to Jonah. The messenger is now the problem. And so now he's on this mission to sort Jonah out, to get Jonah back to the mission. Wow. Why? Because God's about his mission. Yeah. And then the word of the Lord comes a second time in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And guess what had changed? Not the word of the Lord, not the call of the Lord, and not God. Who changed was Jonah. Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because God is about his business. And friends, that's what God's about in this season, is not our business, not my business. Again, a lot of my stuff's been shaken. The stuff I've held dear to, I've seen some of it fall away, and it's been painful, but I'm so relieved this side of eternity. Amen. That God would reveal stuff that's not kingdom, so we can adjust it this side of eternity, so we know that what is kingdom will not be shaken. Proverbs 19:21, you can make many plans, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. You know, Eugene Peterson's version, he says this, we humans keep brainstorming options and plans, but God's purpose prevails. Amen. We don't need more brainstorming as a church in this season and putting in our plans and trying this to get this, to make this. We just got to come back to the purposes of God and say, what are you doing? We want to be on board with that. Amen. Rather than brainstorming on how to grow our thing. How to make our name, how to be famous, and all the nonsense that this great nation has produced in the church. God says, I'm shaking it and I'm bringing it down. Amen. To that which will stand is the kingdom of God alone. And it's painful, even for us who think it's all about Jesus, who say it's all about Jesus, who sing it's all about Jesus, it's all about a kingdom, and then boom, our stuff falls and we go, maybe it wasn't. God is so good, he allows it, shows it, to reveal it. So let me just tell you, we need to hold lightly to our plans and tightly to his purposes. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I know I put verse 15 up there, but on the airplane just reading through this text, I'm like, I've got to read a bit more of this, sorry. So you come to hear the word of God, not what this man has to say. Let's read Ephesians 1. Just let me read verse 3. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. I began to read this on the airplane this afternoon flying here, and I'm telling you, friends, the poor person sitting next to me, because I just got excited with my mask and trying to breathe through everything, I just started getting more and more excited. The destiny and the purpose that God has intended for his people. Amen. So even in the midst of the chaos we face out here, the reality of circumstance, but God. And he says, verse 10, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. In order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, a promised Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Wow. I nearly skipped reading that to you. How dare I pick and choose? Man, that's destiny right there. I'm not here to tell you what I think. I'm here to tell you what God says. Verse 15. For this reason we just read, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better.
Amen.
Our supreme need is to know him.
Amen.
Go to the very outset, the beginning. In the beginning, read the creation. When God created, and God created Adam and Eve, and he created them to walk with him, their creator, to have intimacy with him, to walk with him, to connect and have relationship. That's why God created us.
Amen.
That's our supreme need, friends. Even in this crisis, it's not coming through it. It's not getting out of it. It's coming back to the very reason God created us. Is to have intimacy with him. It's Abraham was called a friend of God. Moses on the mountaintop to be with him. I just want to be with you. I need to see your glory. Show me your glory. It's your presence that distinguishes us as your people and distinguishes us from all other people. And yes, I'll go and do what you've called me to do, but I'm not going if your presence doesn't go with me, because I need you. It's
Amen.
David. In a land where there was nothing, where they were lacking water and lacking food. And he said, my soul thirsts. It pants. I long for you. I cry out for you. I don't need a drink. I need you. I don't need stuff. I need you.
Yeah.
The language that we see in the Psalms of this man who had an obsession to just want to know him, to just want to connect with him. It's Paul saying, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, I don't care whether I live or die, as long as I get more of Christ. Amen. It doesn't matter. Die, live. Give me more of you. I just need more of you. You pick, you choose, but I just want more of you.
Amen.
It's Jesus saying, depart from me. I never knew you. You did this stuff in my name for me. Depart from me. Why? Because you did stuff for me without ever knowing. Wow. Wow. Paul writes and he says, I keep asking. The glorious Father may give the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. To know him well, to know him deeply, to know him truly. There's this legitimate sense in which every believer has come to know God. I understand. Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. So if you have eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus, well, then you have come to know him. Yet there's another sense in which we need to know him far more deeply. There's this desire and longing. Is it in your heart? Because that's what God requires of us and wants of us. And that's what Paul prays for the church, that we'd know him more, know him better. After 30 years as a believer, Paul, Philippians 3 said that he had not yet attained this knowing. He hadn't got there after 30 years. But he pressed on. It's that pursuit. Friends, it's not informational. It's not more study. It's our spirit abiding with his spirit. Amen. On this ongoing basis. Wow. It must be our highest aim as we come to know him. You know what happens? We'll discover a growing process of intimacy with him, a closeness that will compel us to want to know him even more. Wow. And I believe knowing him really means entering into this relationship with him, that he is so dominant, he dominates our influence, our thoughts, and our actions. Let's read on verse 18. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened. Some versions say, flooded with the light by the Holy Spirit, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The divine guarantee, the confident expectation, so that you can see exactly what it is he's calling you to do. Friends, do you see this revelation that is needed to know Christ more, but also to know the hope to which we've been called? Amen. I feel, I've watched globally and certainly in our great nation, and I'm connected to pastors and leaders. I spend my life, even though I can't travel, on Zoom daily. Chris will tell you, I'm in meetings daily, and here's what I'm seeing more and more of. It seems that the church in this season, because of all that's gone down, has lost the hope to which we've been called. It hasn't gone according to our plan. It hasn't. We didn't get the president we voted for. We didn't get the party that we were trusting for. We didn't get the Christian party that was going to help the church get the job done. God didn't say it was going to be like that. We presumed, because that's what we always presume. And I know some of you want to throw rocks at me. I'm just telling you, live what you want. Today, apparently, Trump was going to win again. Guess what? He didn't. And I'm not mocking. I'm just saying, when will we look to God and stop looking to politicians? Amen. Until we get there, God's not going to be able to use us. Until we, I voted and I didn't get who I wanted, just so you know. But I'm not sitting around going, okay, well, 4 years' time, we'll try again. God says, get on with what I've called you to do. Maybe strong enough. I know this is a Republican thing. Just for a moment. Sorry, Marco. Just, I got to say this. Maybe the Lord didn't allow our chosen one so he could show you your faith can't be in anything but me. Amen. And what are we going to do in this season? We're going to cry, weep, stolen, it was stolen? Or we're going to say, God, your purposes and plans, what are you doing, Lord? Where's our faith? Can't be in anything, even good things. Amen. Even things that are to help people. If they're man-driven, they will always let us down.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
But when they're God, has integrity. Amen. When they're God, they can't be shaken. Amen. And I'm an American. So come fight me afterwards about who won. Doesn't matter. Get over it. Vote in 4 years. I'm not trying to be weird. And I'm telling you, I know it's going to be hard for the church, but God didn't look for when you have the right government, I can operate. That's an American thing. That's the American church, not the kingdom church.
Amen. That's good.
The rest of the world, I mean, just so you know, we minister all over the world in really bad places where governments are so controlling and so dictatorial. And may I be bold enough as an American say, this church there is stronger than the church here. Why? Because his faith is not in who's in control of the White House. It's what God's called us to. And we'll thrive under any government because the government of God is on the shoulders of Jesus, which means it's on our shoulders because we are the... I'm not saying it's not important who you're president. You better vote. And if you don't vote, then that's your problem. I'm being honest. I've voted. I know. I just had to say that because I've watched the church fall apart through these elections. What have we built? Who are we? We're the church of Christ. This stuff, hope to which we've been called. The riches of his glorious inheritance and his holy people. Friend, live with a sense of destiny. You know, when people lose their hope of purpose, you know what happens? You watch them die a slow death right in front of you. And I'm watching that. People are dying a slow death right in front of me because they've lost their hope to purpose. Churches, people, ministries, business people, it's all been shaken. And so suddenly we're watching people literally die a slow death. Don't die. Amen. The hope to which we've been called, church. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And most of us stop there and say, that's what it says. It goes on and says something even more important. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes your heart sick. But what about the fulfillment of the promises and the longings that God has spoken and put in us? Trees of life. This is a season for the trees of life to be established. But we focus in hope deferred all the time rather than finding out what God is doing and the longings being fulfilled. Maybe we need to be looking for them again rather than thinking they should have happened the way we want.
Yeah, that's good.
The sense of destiny, a sense of duty. You know, we're in partnership with God. I love our partnership together. I love being involved with Texas. I mean, I love this place. My wife's not here because if I bring her here, we'll end up moving here. You understand? Every time I travel anywhere, Nicole, my wife, says, yeah, I don't want to go with you. Because every city you land in, you want to move to. It's just in my heart. I just want to keep going. But this is a different place. I've come here a few times going, Lord, just give me the nod and I'm here, you know. And I told my wife, she's like, Tyron, I don't even want to see it because she'll come. I just need a confirmation from the Father. But so I love the partnership. I love being involved. I love what God's doing around the world. I love our partnerships. We're blessed to have international, global partnerships with kingdom men and women who are serious getting on and winning nations for Jesus. I'm so blessed to be a part of it. And then I get to lead that. I mean, how? Why? Look at me. Yeah, okay, we'll just move on. I'm just saying, wow. But you know what? Even more than all that, we're in partnership with him. This last 12 months, I've come back to that revelation. You picked me. My 1%, our at most 1%. I don't even think it's a 1%, but let's just go with it. We, the whole church and the planet, is maybe 1%. God is 99%. But you know that a 99 without that 1% is not 100%. The stuff you and I are doing is not insignificant. Maybe others don't see it. Maybe right now it makes no sense. But the Father says, I want your 1% to add to my 99% in order for my 100% to function. And I'm not going to do it without you. And you might be shocked. You might be shaken. You might not even understand what's going on like many of us. But he's not going to do it and get us to watch. Some of us have gone into a season of sitting on our hands and cheering God, throwing our hands in the air and saying, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what to do. So go do it, Lord, and we'll just pray. And that's great to pray, but the Lord says, I actually called you to do stuff with me. Bring your 1%.
Amen.
And so whatever the world's told you, your 1% is useless. God says, without your 1%, I don't operate. You're in partnership with me. Bring your 1%.
Amen.
You're in partnership with God. Live with duty and destiny, my dear friends. What we're doing tonight is part of partnering with him. Doesn't matter. I've never asked him how many people are coming, how big, how much. Doesn't matter. I mean, I'm happy that you're all here, but we're doing this in partnership with him. That's all we're doing. Saying, do your thing, God, but we bring in our thing because it's significant. Doesn't matter who sees it, we're working with God in his plans and his purpose. Live with a sense of dedication. I was talking to one of my friends who leads a great church in England. And England's still in shutdown. They're not allowed to meet. I mean, it's getting really hard for the pastors and people. Not only that, he carries a lot of our responsibilities, the stuff we do globally and around the UK and Europe. And so he was just letting me know, it's been tough. I hear that every day. And he's like, it's been really tough. And you know what? He identified the season. He said this. He said, my responsibilities feel like they're outweighing my call. And I thought, that's exactly right. If our responsibilities outweigh our call, we're going to burn out. You're going to stop doing what you're doing. I'm going to stop doing it. But if we come back to the call, hope to which we've been called. If God could remind me of my call, if he could just remind me of the call for the church in America, you know what, friends? The stuff we're doing will find its place again. We won't burn out. We won't think it's insignificant. Maybe you tonight need a shift from your responsibility back to call. Yeah, that's good. I feel like God's saying, I want my church back to the calling. It's the call that gives us those responsibilities. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're burning out. Maybe you just feel like it's, come back to the hope to which you've been called. That's what Paul was praying for here. Keep an ever-present sense of his divine call and destiny for your life. Ever-present, not past present, and us prophetic people, not future present. Ever-present, right now. Don't miss what God's doing now because you want to get to the next. We need a sense of determination. Job, I've been reading the book of Job, Dangerous Thing. Job 11:18 says, having hope will give you courage. See, we need courage like never before, friends. But not just stepping out and being weird, not in our flesh. But having hope will give us courage. Amen. Having hope. I believe hope gives faith to the wings. Hope gives faith wings to fly. Verse 19, let's quickly read it. And his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from dead and seated him as his right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, every name that is invoked, not only in the one present age, but also in the one to come. I'm convinced the reason that we're not seeing this power that in the church today is because we're so focused on what we can do and our programs. But the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power, not the preachers and the leaders and the apostolic, the church. And the reason we're not seeing it, it's not because it's not there, it's because we're so busy on what we can do and our program. And the Lord says, I'm going to shake, shake, shake. All that stuff that was good is your stuff that's coming down. Now, reveal my power to the people around. And we're going to look at some of this weekend and pray and trust and I'm telling you, it's not a moment. It's the same power. He wants us to walk in that power. Wow. We have it. The reason we're not walking in it, because we're looking at our things, yeah, our systems, our structures, our ministries. The Lord says, come back to my ministry. What can you do without me? Don't do them anymore. Wow. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills everything in every way. I love that. The position we carry is because of where Jesus is, not because of anything we've done. Amen. We don't minister for position. We minister from position. Hallelujah. Paul prays this truth. So I read that to you this evening as not a new text, as a reminder in the context of what God's doing in the season, the hope to which we've been called. I want to talk a little about the purpose of God. What's going on right now? And what is our response? And listen, I'm not a prophet, but I don't even think you have to be a prophet. You don't even have to be prophetic. You just have to open your eyes and not highlight one thing. Look at what's happening and say, that's what's happening. How do we respond as God's people? Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to the kingdom of God. And in this season, we best not be ignorant, because it's not bliss. He wants us to know. He's showing us because he's doing stuff in this season that the church has a moment in history to be involved and to rewrite some of history for the nation. For generations, these young guys and their children's children, if Jesus doesn't come back soon. I'm so excited. I want to be a part of that, but I want it to be God's thing.
Amen.
Not my thing, because I got some ideas, but they ain't going to work. So to state that these are crazy times we're living in is the understatement of the century. These are crazy times. None of us have lived through this before. I know some older people here, you haven't lived through this. This is different. This is something weird going on. It's not just in America. It's a global thing. And it's getting better. And apparently you guys are opening next week. Praise God. Why wasn't it this week? But anyway, that's fine. But there's still stuff that's happened. And I want to just say, you cannot be nostalgic for a season that we no longer live in. There is no going back to pre-COVID. And I'm not just talking about master now. I'm talking about in the kingdom, what's happened has happened. God isn't taking us back to that. He's now taking us into what he's called us to. And there's no going back.
Amen.
I listen to the church. I listen to pastors. I just want to get back to what was. There's no back to what was. What was the waste of the last 12 months? This is a season now God's called us to. Don't be nostalgic for about a season that no longer exists. We're going to live in the now. We're going to partner with God's purpose and plans for this season, not when we come out of this season. I listen to the prophetic people say, when we come out of the season. No, no, we are in a season where God is doing significant things.
Amen. That's good.
We've got to stop focusing on coming out and what are we doing now?
Yeah, that's good.
Cliche is present far too often in seasons of transition when we know less about the window of time in which we are living than we need to. Someone said, pep talks with little substance are of insignificant value when everything that can be shaken is being shaken. The days of preaching pep talks, come on, make it, you're awesome, God loves you, he's got a plan for your life. Sounds brilliant, ain't gonna work. Why? Because we're getting shaken and God wants us to come back to his word, not a pep talk to keep you coming to church. Those days are done, friends. And I think it's a good thing for all of us to come back to the word of God and say, God, what did you say? Not how can I inspire these people with my great gifts? Ignorance is not bliss. We need to see what he's doing and be less concerned about what we're doing. Three major things I believe happening right now. Major things. Number one, man is sinning. Oh, you know, Tyron, man's always been sinning. Yeah, and when I say man, women too, ladies, right? Just so you don't think this is a man thing. People sin. And I know sin into the world, I understand in creation. I get all that when Adam said, but let me tell you, there's a stepping up of sin today. It is rampant. It's everywhere. It's being exposed in the church and out of the church. In our political arena, in the business world, you name it, it's been exposed and it seems like no one cares. But God cares.
Amen.
So you got man sinning right now, people sinning. Just let me read 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. Can I just ask you, just listen to it. Go read it. Tyron, are you here telling us we're living in the end? Yes, I am here saying that. And if I'm wrong, it doesn't matter. Right? But if I'm right, it's a big deal. And Paul got it wrong. 2,000 years ago, he thought they were living in the end. And they weren't. And look how they lived.
Yeah, that's true.
But I do believe we are in the end. And I've always said that I believe Jesus will come back while I'm leading NCMI. If I'm wrong, it doesn't matter. If I'm right, we're preparing people for him to come back.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to fight you on the return of Jesus, all right? But I want to tell you, we are 2,000 years closer than Paul.
Yeah.
And I don't believe the pandemic has revealed Jesus is coming back. Jesus said he's coming back.
Mm.
And the pandemic's revealed some things that need to be fixed before Jesus comes back. That's what I'm saying. But godlessness in the last days, in 2 Timothy 3, 5. Let me just read this. And I'm reading out the Amplified version. Just let me say this. For people will be lovers of self, narcissistic, self-focused, lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, profane. Have you known some of those people? Are you some of those people? And they will be unloving, devoid of natural human affection, calloused and inhumane, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, devoid of self-control, intemperate, immoral, brutal, haters of good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of sensual pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of outward godliness or religion, although they have denied its power, for their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. And what is the response? Avoid such people. Keep far away from them. Don't be these people. And friends, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. In our nation, it's even in the church. And can I just be bold enough this evening to say, if you are living in sin, you better sort it out now. God ain't turning a blind eye to us. I mean, I'm so broken to hear about some of the, I don't want to talk about names, some of these people that I thought, I really respect who they were in ministry, and it's been revealed some of their lives again. And it's like not broken my heart as much, shaken my faith. It's just, why did the legacies of? Like that. And maybe it's because we have faith in people. We got to stop. But let me just tell you this. God ain't going to turn a blind eye. And maybe it looks like people are getting away with things, but they will not get away with things. There's no fear of a higher power in our nation anymore. I mean, I know the Constitution. I have to learn it to become an American. You realize that? I'd probably know more about Americans than because I had to learn it. I just want to tell you, without being political, I know I'm going live here. I just believe the founders never thought that we would not believe in a higher power. They believed in all this other stuff would happen, and they put stuff in place for it. But this Constitution doesn't work if you don't fear some higher power. Then I'm going to use everything for my glory, and who cares about ramifications? So everyone's on the take right now. Because there's no consequences to your actions. But there are. And even if you don't acknowledge it, there is a God who will hold all accountable, amen, including us, if we don't fix it. Yeah, so it seems like anyone getting caught, it's fine, we'll just turn a blind eye. God ain't turning a blind eye. So just, man is sinning like never before. Now, let me just tell you, if that's what was happening, it would be bad, but we would know how to identify it and how to handle it and how to deal with it, because that's what. But at the same time, you got man sinning, the same time, you've got the devil raging. I'm not here to glorify him, but I want to tell you there's some things about the devil we better know. He's raging. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Pause. Can I say this, please? I've listened to people talk about the devil like this. He's just a mouse with a megaphone. In other words, he has this big voice, but he's just a mouse. He can't do anything. Not according to what we've just read. And I'm not here to glorify him, but he is in control. He's ruling a lot of stuff. He's been given rule in a lot of things. And let me tell you, I've grown up and I've lived in Africa and I've been and I've heard a roaring lion. And if any of you have heard a roaring lion, it freaks you out. It's not a mouse going wee, wee, wee. It's a rah, and everything in you is shaken. Everything's shaken. There's an intimidation from a roaring lion. Don't tell me he's just this mouse with a megaphone floating around trying to take out weak people. He's raging right now. Sin has been exposed and the devil's raging like never before. Not just out there, even using people like you and I to play his game and sort shake things that God doesn't want shake. Are you with me, dear friends? What does he say? Resist him. Standing firm in the faith. Ephesians chapter 6, everybody's talking about this. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world. In other words, what he's saying is, our fight is not against people. Yeah. Church, our battle's not against people.
Yeah, that's good.
But somehow we have marked the enemy as people.
Yeah.
Some versions actually say that our battles, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the rulers and against authorities and powers of this dark world and against evil spirits, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Mm-hmm. Now, our battle's not against the government or the Democrats or the Republicans. It's not.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not against the world. It's not against your people who don't trust the God you served, who don't like you. Who cares? That's not our battle. Yeah, I know this, Tyrone. Well, then why are we fighting each other?
Yeah, that's good.
We don't know this. We're allowing the rager to rage through us.
Yeah.
And we think we're doing a good thing for God. And God's saying, you're messing it all up.
Why?
Because you, flesh and blood's been used against flesh and blood rather than we as the church are united around what matters.
Amen.
Are you there, my dear friends? We've got to hear this. Somehow we're on this thing and we've got to stand up for truth. Yeah, but not fight people. How are you going to ever unite when you're fighting each other? The world is too strong for a divided church.
Amen.
Well, I have to say this on social media because it's my right. God chose me. No, he didn't. The devil's using you to rage and to destroy and to divide God's people when we need to unite like never before, because we've got a moment in history to be the church and actually come together for the plans and purposes of God. Are you there? I know this is touchy. I know that. But I'm telling you, I'm watching us in this nation destroy one another, let alone the world, the church. And we have the right. No, we don't. I have the right to say what I think. How about just not giving us what you think for a moment? We don't need opinions. We need truth in the love of God. And it cannot be done on social media, with all due respect. I'm not telling you what not to do. I'm just telling you the devil uses flesh and blood, even though our battle's not against flesh and blood. And he uses people in the church. You know, the devil wants to destroy this church and every other church. He has a desire to destroy this church. And you know how he does it? With you. He doesn't do outsiders. He uses insiders. And we just play the game because we don't realize the strategy of the lion that's raging. And he's utilizing opinions and perspectives and issues and hurts, and we come against each other. I know this is hard to hear, but it's true, guys. And we're destroying him. We're playing into the hands of the destroyer.
Wow.
Ask God, before you post anything, ask God. And I'll tell you what, you'll stop posting anything. I'm not against posting. I'm against this nonsense we're putting out there in the name of Jesus. That's destroying the church and causing us to divide when we need each other like never before.
Yeah.
You know, when we planted this church in Denver that we're based in now, my sons used to drive with me to our meetings every Sunday, and they were like, hey, Dad, what are you preaching on today? I'm Jesus. They're like, yeah, I know Jesus, but what about Jesus? Oh, I'm preaching the word. Yeah, what about the word? You know, just the whole game we play all the way. But I remember telling them, I was preaching, I put a message together out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I said, boys, they said, Dad, what are you preaching on today? I said, how to kill this church. Their eyes, Joshua was like 10 years or 58. Their eyes were like this. Why would you preach on how to kill the church? I said, because the devil wants to kill this church and he wants to use the people in this church to kill this church.
Wow.
That's why I'm going to tell them how to do it. Division.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about the enemy out there. We have to worry about us being used by the enemy in here.
Wow. That's good.
And I realize people want to throw rocks at me right now. Just hear my heart. The devil's raging and he's using us to rage against each other and to rage against the world when God's not raging.
Yeah.
There are two kingdoms in conflict. They are not side by side coexisting. We got to stop talking about we coexist. There's no such thing. There are two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, and they don't coexist. Choose which one. They are in conflict. That's what's going on. Francis Schaeffer says, we are locked in a battle. This is not a friendly gentleman's game. It's a life and death conflict between the spiritual hosts of wickedness and those who claim the name of Christ. C.S. Lewis says, there is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan.
Wow.
Mm. The world is too strong for a divided church, my dear friends. The world at its worst needs the church to be at its best. How are we doing? You want to know how to kill the church? Let the rager use you to rage against flesh and blood. So that's bad enough. I mean, just that's bad, right? So you got man sinning at the same time, you got the devil raging. Wow. Well, if it was just those two things, I think, all right. But there's a third thing happening that I don't think we've emphasized enough. And that is that God is shaking. You got man sinning, you got the devil raging, and on top of it all, you've got God shaking. God is shaking. I believe that with all my heart. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things, so that which cannot be shaken may remain. Amen. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, meaning that which is not shaken is the kingdom. So why are we surprised when God shakes? Why are we surprised that things fall away? Because we've claimed only that which stands will be kingdom. So at this time of man sinning and the devil raging, God says, I'm in it and I'm shaking. And this nation's been shaken, the world's been shaken, but also the church in our nation, we the church, have been shaken, and it's not all bad. Even though it's very unpleasant, and though it's very restricting, and though it's very disappointing to see what's happened and people falling away and people questioning so many things, it's been heartbreaking, but it's also good because God does it for good, not for bad.
Amen.
God shakes us to show us, to reveal what is inside. We don't know what's inside till the shaking happens. When pressure's on, what's really inside comes out. In comfort, we can claim we're followers of Jesus and we're awesome, we love Jesus, and then we get shaken. Then we know who we're truly following. So I just want to tell you, when the shaking happens, God reveals, he exposes. The American Trinity is comfort and pleasure and success. And God's moved us from comfort and pleasure and success to Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's in the church too, my friends. And I don't believe God doesn't want us to have stuff or enjoy life, none of that stuff. But he'll shake that to say, is that where your faith's at? Wow. And reveal what's really inside. Not wrong to have any of those things. You hear me? So if you still have them, that's cool. Not bad. But the American Trinity is not the real Trinity. God just wants to reveal what's inside. That's all. He shakes us to sift us. There's a sifting. I don't know if you sensed it. And I'm not like these prophets who are out there saying that God's judgment's in the house of God. And I'm not there yet. I'm not sure. Maybe if this is judgment, then this is not bad. I think judgment's a little worse. But anyway, whatever. But what I am saying is there's a sifting that God is bringing through the shaking. People falling out of the church, falling away. Forgive me, you online people. People are enjoying being online and don't want to be together anymore. And I'm not, sometimes we need the ears back or the hands back. We're missing some body parts from online stuff. We've got to come together. And I know I get in trouble saying this. I did this in Colorado recently. I was like, if you can go to Walmart, you can come to church. Come on. It's not about us gathering, but it is about us being together. But there's a sifting. People have fallen away. And for shepherds and pastors, it's heartbreaking. We've seen churches walk away from NCMR, fall away, just disappear. It's been grievous for me. But at the end of the day, it's sifting. What's true and what's not. Don't fall away. Get your heart right and come back to the revelation of, I'm a follower of Jesus, regardless of what's going on. There's a sifting. Some of you maybe like watch pastors and leaders and people you respected fall aside, start declaring nonsense because of elections, and you're just like, whoa. He's like, okay, there's a sifting. God's revealing. The world is watching, friends. I think these days have exposed our loyalties like no other. I know that this is going to sound just, we've been put in the hands of politicians rather than the hands of Jesus. Every 4 years they come and tell us what they'll do for us if we vote for them. And there's nothing wrong with voting, please. But we're in the hands of Jesus, not the hands of a politician. Amen. We don't need them, they need us. Yeah. I'm not saying that. Loyalties to movements, to denominations, to ministries, to people, to the church, at the expense of loyalty to Him. Yeah, and He's exposing it, and the world's watching how we handle this. Yeah. I've had people more loyal to me than to God. I've had to push them and say, no, Him. Just a man, ministry. NCMI, we're doing our best to honor God, but don't look to us. Yeah. Don't be loyal to the church or your pastors or your leaders. Be loyal to Him. Amen. 21. American church back in loyalty to Him. Amen. There's a strengthening in the shaking, purifying. Man, we're going through some fire. And it's good because it purifies. It brings the true authentic of who we are. That's what God wants. In strengthening us, there's a positioning and a directing us. God has positioned us in the season back to what He's wanting us. We've all been so busy with ministries in the church. Let's be honest. I've been busy. And then suddenly it's like, boom, stop. And the Lord's now saying, what's more important? Positioning you, the church, to where He wants you to be, friend. That's part of the shaking. He's protected us. Not just from COVID. I know most of you have had COVID, I guess, but it's not about COVID. He's protected us in His plans. Man, I don't want to get, I just look back at these 12 months and say, man, God has protected me and His church. He really has. I've hated every minute, daily, every day of this season. I've hated it because it's just, I want to go. I want to get on with this mandate. And we sang that song tonight. I just want to get out to the nations. I'm stuck in this great nation. Great, I love it. But there's this mandate people have never heard. Yeah. Wow. I'm like, come on, Lord, just let me go. And then, no, I'm positioning my church. I'm protecting my church. I'm getting her how I want her to be. Wow. It's not wasted. It's not get me out of this. It's what are you doing in this, Lord? Amen. Not so we can come right, so we can function now in it. Rewrite history in America, not in the Africa. God's perfecting us. He's bringing us to maturity. I think that this pandemic has exposed the immaturity of the church like no other. Yeah. We've all actually, and can I say, it's also not only exposed the immaturity, it's forced us to grow up. We've had to put our big boy pants on. Can I say that? Big girl pants on. Our big pants on. No, I'm not trying to be weird. We've had to grow up. It's no longer being spoon-fed by leaders who are going to phone me every day and come tell me what God's saying. It's me having to push in. And God says, I want my church to grow up and stop looking to man. Come back to look into me. And those other things are not, we don't do away with them. We just fix it by coming back to Him. He's shaping us. And this is what I want to highlight tonight. He's shaping us in this season. His shaking is breaking us down. And I've always preached about the breaking down. I've got to be honest. My thing has always been a negative focus when the shaking comes. It's always God brings us down, breaks us down to nothing so He can expose. But actually, God challenged me in the last probably month or so. I was in a meeting worshiping, and I just felt God say, you tyrant, you're highlighting one of many things when it comes to shaking. And I don't want you to miss, or my church to miss what I'm doing. So let me tell you, He shakes us to break things down, but He also shakes us to break things up. There's a breaking up in the season. And it's not that back to business as usual. In the shaking, the breaking up, there's stuff that's been broken up for you and I now to walk in. The stuff we've cried out for, saying, Lord, please, maybe He did it through the shaking. We just haven't seen it because we focus on the breaking down. But God says, I'm breaking things up for my purposes and plan. I'm breaking open things. Maybe the things that have been closed have now been opened. But we're so busy looking at what we haven't been able to got, what we haven't got, we can't do. When God's saying, I close some doors in order to open other doors. Let's not miss what the doors that are open. There are so many doors that are open to us right now in this nation. Maybe they're different to the doors before, but God closes doors to open doors. And part of His shaking is to open up. We've got to live differently from tonight, hearing this again, saying, okay, and lead. Those of you who previously lead God's people, we've got to look differently in the opportunities that lie ahead because of the shake. Yeah, good. Breaking open, breaking in. He wants to break in like never before. Gone are the days we do our thing and hope God's in it. Those days are over, dear friends. It's not like our thing and Lord bless it, my ministry and I hope God's in it. No, no, God said, I'll take it all down. Now I'm in it. Get on board with what I'm doing. We don't have to guess if God's in it. Now we get to get on with what God's doing. That's the purposes of God. And let me tell you, it means he wants to take control of his people and back to being in control of his church. Jesus wants his church back. And he's got it back. Has he got you back? Are you willing? Now, I've said this before. But I don't believe the devil's even opposing the church. I think he's joined the church. He doesn't oppose the church in our great nation. He's joined it. Why? Because he does more harm being counterfeit than he does coming against us. I really do. I don't think our hearts are wrong. We've just been deceived by him coming with the counterfeit. But God said, I'm shaking and I'm going to reveal and I'm breaking in. And I want to tell you, friends, not just in our gatherings, in your alone time, you've got to trust for more breaking in. God wants to reveal, not a word to you, he wants to reveal himself to you. In our gatherings, not who's preaching, who cares? Who's doing worship? Who cares? We coming to encounter God.
Amen.
We have to put it on the wall, God is with us. On our website, God is with us. People will see God is with us because God is with us if we're with him. There's a breaking in. There's a breaking out. Break out. You break out. There's a breakthrough. There's a breakthrough. So you go, man sinning. You've got the devil raging. You've got God shaking. What a recipe for disaster if we don't know what God's doing. So how do we respond? And I've got to land us. How do we respond? Well, I believe there's four ways to respond. And it's not one at a time. And it's not pick which one you like. I believe there's a response in this season to the things that are happening. How do we respond? Our response is fourfold. Number one, we need to draw close to him. Draw close to him. I know the obvious text is John 15. I know that. But I have to say this is the season to draw close. And once you're drawn close, stay close. Jesus said, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in me. In the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain. I am the vine and you're the branches. Imagine that. In other words, you can do nothing without me. Apart from me, you can't do a thing. You can get on with ministry. You can be busy with stuff for me, but without me, you can't do it.
Yeah,
you know how many people said to me, no, Tyron, if only I had more time. If I had more time, I would spend it with the Lord. I said that. I don't know who hasn't said that. And for 1 minute, 1 moment, 1 month, 6 months, globally, the whole world shut down. And we all had more time. Now let me ask you, how many of us spend more time with him? Probably one or two people. The majority of people I've talked to said we were given more time and we didn't spend more time. Why? Because we got busy with other stuff. Why? Because it's got nothing to do with time. It's got everything to do with priority. Let me tell you, if it's a priority, you will make time. You can have time, but if it's not a priority, it's not going to be so. And so I believe in the season that we've been in and are still in, and even when we move into whatever the next thing is, God wants us to remain close to him. You, friends, it's not based on each other. You can't go to your pastors anymore to get revelation. You get to go to God himself. That's what he wants. Remain in me and I remain in you. I'm telling you, this season, he wants us close, and he's done it, so we will stay close coming to what. If we get full lockdown totally over and everything is open again, we better stay close. Amen. Otherwise, what a waste of a season that God revealed himself afresh to us. Wow. Yeah. Let me just, while I'm here, get in a little trouble. John 15 goes on and says what? He goes on and he says, I no longer call you servants, but I now call you friend. Now that just pops my mind. I mean, we were at the end of last year, just having a prayer meeting in our church, and we were thanking God for the doors that had opened. 2020, looking back, going, oh, wow, there were doors. And then dreaming a little about 2021, some of the doors that maybe were open. And I felt the Father rebuke me, and I had to stop the prayer meeting. I wasn't even leading. And say, hey, guys, I just want to read it. And it was this very thing. I no longer call you servant, but I now call you friend. He didn't say, you call me friend. I call you friend. And he says, why? Because a servant does not know his master's business. See, we sit here and say, why? Where were the prophets when it came to COVID? Where were the prophets when it came to the elections? They all got it wrong. I want to stop and say, no, no, where were we? We are called friends of God. Jesus wants to be a friend, and he wants to entrust us. And what he's saying is, servants don't know what the master's doing, but I've revealed to you everything my Father's called. See, we need a posture shift, church. Going into our next season, and we should not be living with constant surprise if we're friends with him. If we're just serving him as master, which I have been, and being task-orientated, get this done for him, rather than we get to work with him. I'm not trying to play on our emotional strings and relational. He is Lord. He is King. He is all those things. He'll never change. But if you're doing stuff for him rather than doing stuff with him, we're probably going to miss a whole lot more waiting for the prophets who are still trying to work it out. And I'm not saying prophets aren't important, but you know, God doesn't do anything. Amos 3:7. No, no, hang on. That's old covenant, just so you know. And I got prophets on my team, so I believe in full prophets. But somehow we think God is obliged to tell us what he's going to do before he does it, based on an old covenant, obsolete covenant, that he owes us an explanation before he does anything. He's God, remember? We work for him. But I do believe there's some secrets in his heart that he wants to reveal as a friend to friend. And if we stop going to him just for perspective and walk close with him and abide in him, maybe he'll reveal to us the secrets of his heart, the resources of heaven in his heart. So we don't Google everything. We go to the heart of the Father to hear what it is he's called us to. Is that okay? I'm challenged. I was rebuked. I want to be less surprised and less dependent on the prophets to tell me and more dependent on my relationship with my friend called Jesus, who's revealing to me what the Father's doing so I don't get caught off guard all the more. He wants that for all of us. Don't run to your leaders to hear what God's doing. Go to God himself. The church needs to grow up. We can't be relying on people. And of course we need preachers and all that, and that's never going to change. But a preacher's role not to stand in the gap between God and man. Jesus is the mediator, and he's taking care of that, and he is the one mediator. We all have access to him. We've got to stop living in the old covenant. Yeah, it's good time. You know, the old covenant, if I want to talk to God, I have to go find a priest who speaks to God on my behalf. If I wanted to hear from God, I have to find a prophet who would tell me what God has to say. But in the new covenant, the Bible says the veil between God and man was ripped from top to bottom. God initiated, not man's feeble attempt. God ripped it from top to bottom. He came to us and he split it. And he said, ah, now you have direct access to me all the time. So if you have to go to someone on behalf of, let me tell you, God's your grandfather, not your father. But he wants to bring us back to being the Father. Jesus wants to be our friend, revealing the secrets of heaven.
Amen.
Not to a few chosen, to all of us, if we abide in him. Stay close. Draw close. Come close. Stay close. Stay close to each other. It's not just me and Jesus. I've listened to people say, I don't need anyone. This is proven, me and Jesus. No, it hasn't. You need each other. We need each other. We need real partnership like never before. This gospel partnership's no joke anymore. Now it's real. We've got to be connected. We need people working together, walking together. You've got to be part of local church, friends. I'm not here promoting church. I'm promoting kingdom, and the kingdom is about functioning through local church. Draw close. At the same time, we need to bow down. Bow down. God opposes the proud. I mean, our God before us, who can be against us? If God be against us, who can be for us? Yeah, opposed. Well, there's a bowing down, friend. And not a moment. Listen, I can tell you some of the stories in my life and in ministry where I've been shaken to the core of my being, where I've been forced to go alone and be with God, where He's revealed stuff to me that's kept me going. But there have been moments. I feel like the Lord's saying, I don't want moments. I want a lifestyle. Amen. Amen. Submitting and surrendering all the time. Sustained. Not a moment. Not I can tell you when that happened 24 years ago. Daily, sustained. You know, friends, it's changed even ministry, preaching. I get up now and I've got all these things to preach and I feel the Lord say, I don't want you to preach. I'm like, Lord, I want to preach that. No, you preach. It's not to control, it's to be more effective. Wow. We've got to come to the sustained surrender, submit. Yeah. Those words are not bad, surrender and submit. They're awesome words when it's for Him. Amen. And so I believe our response is to draw close, but also to bow down. Not one or the other at the same time. Stay close and stay bowed down. Amen. Get rid of your arrogance. Yeah. My arrogance in the pulpit and arrogance in the church and my faith in my gifting and nonsense. And just, whoa. God opposes the proud. And He says, the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Don't ask God to humble you. Because if He does, you probably will never get up again. He says, humble yourself. In this season, my friends, draw close. Bow down. Thirdly, line up. Line up. The church for too long has been marching to the sound of the world. And if you would do yourself a favor, don't do me this favor, do yourself. Go read the book of Haggai. I believe right now there's this shaking that God's revealing through the book of Haggai. And if you realize in the book of Haggai, I know it's old covenant, but I know we don't build the house of God. I understand that. But the heart is the same. And God says this to those people. You all living in your paneled houses. Now, there's nothing wrong with a paneled house, just so you know. I live in Colorado. I think if we didn't have panels, we'd die of cold, all right? So He hasn't got an issue with a paneled house. He says, you are living in paneled houses while my house is lying in ruins. And then He says, you say it's not the time for my house to be built. I say, it is. And there's this response. And He says, go and do it and I'll be with you. And suddenly the people realize we've been busy with our own houses while the house of God lies in ruins. And so they begin to build the house of God. It says, all of them responded, and God says, I'm with you. And then in chapter 2, He said, ask the question, who was here part of the former? I mean, let me just straight up tell you, some of you guys who've led churches or perhaps been in the church for many years, who possibly, if you're honest by what you see right now, you say the house of God is in ruins in America. Compared to what we had and what we've got now, it seems like it's in ruins. Because we're focusing on the stuff we've seen rather than what God's doing. And the promise is, this is what He says. Who here saw the house before? God says, the glory of the latter will be greater than the former. I know this is arrogant, it sounds like. It's not. These are the finest hours for the church. The American church is in trouble. But the church in America that is Jesus focused has its finest hour upon her.
Hallelujah.
The beginning of 2020, God spoke to me. I'm not a prophet. And God said, this was a season of release. I mean, release. I had no idea. I went and preached it, right, Chris? I was telling everyone, this is a season of release. I mean, release means, we're going to do this. And that's what I thought. But in that God speaking to me, I actually had a picture of people, or I didn't see who they were, but ministries and churches going under. Like people, men treading water and going under from the release. And I thought, gee. And I felt God say, it's not going to be a release for people who are doing things in their own strength and peddling their own ministries and keeping their thing. It's going to be those who are serious about my will. There'll be a release. A couple of months later, we're in lockdown. All my friends, like Tyron, clearly you're not a prophet. I mean, how's this working out, release? But look back in the last 12 months, we've been released from a whole lot of stuff.
That's true. Yeah.
The church is in a sweeter place. maybe more difficult, maybe feels less successful. But according to God, we are released from that stuff in order to get on with His stuff. But here's why I want to say this. I think some of the ministries, and I'm not even judging them, are not coming back. That God's not going to let them come back. They've gone under and they're not coming back. Why? Because God's not going to breathe life into something that's dead. It's going to be something that's His. Now, I'm not pointing fingers. All I'm saying is, Lord, let it not be my stuff, because I want to be part of Your stuff. And maybe for you people here, it's not like let's get back to how we were doing ministry and stuff. Getting people engaged and telling us how awesome we are. No, no. Let's come back to His stuff. Amen. He's in it and He's with us. Amen. And my last point. Sorry I took so long. But then tomorrow we've set the foundation for tomorrow. We need to come close, draw close. We need to line up. We need to bow down. At the same time, we need to rise up. Amen. Maybe the other three you can identify, but maybe this rise up one's like, that's when we are out of lockdown and when the nation turns again and when we have the right government. And guys, I get all those things, but those are our things.
Yeah, that's good.
The hope to which, the power of purpose. I think prophetic people always want to live in the future, but God's saying you're missing the now. Mm-hmm. There's a rising up right now. And maybe in your restrictions and even fear. And I think the devil's greatest strategy, are you listening, is limitation.
Yeah. Wow.
And I believe COVID and the shutdown and lockdown has brought such limitation to us that we've began to believe we're limited. And we are from doing stuff we used to, but not from the purposes of God.
Amen.
And I feel like the challenge for you and I tonight is that we need to rise up. Not rise up in us, rise up in Him.
Amen.
Now is the time.
Yes.
It's not waited out. It's not longing for what was. It's not seeing what the future will be one day. When we're ready. No, God says now.
Amen.
The hope to which you've been called. Let me read this last scripture, Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, and I'm just going to read it from the Message Bible. It says, "Sing, barren woman, who's never had a baby. Fill the air with song, you who've never experienced childbirth. You're ending up with far more children than all those childbearing women." God says so. And let me just pause and say, I've preached on this and I've heard many people preach on this and say this. What he's saying is that if you haven't had a child, sing in your desperation. And God will honor your desperation and give you a child. That's not what it says. What it's saying is sing, not in desperation. That word actually means sing a song of victory and triumph.
Amen.
Not because you're going to have a child, because the promises you have in God are far more than a woman who carries a child. I'm not saying you can't claim it for those who are trusting for children. What I am saying is the writer is telling us the inheritance we've been promised in God is way more rejoicing than just those who are trusting for a child. We can limit to our thing rather than the promises of God. Verse 2, clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive out the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. You're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Increase capacity, fruitfulness, faith, victory, and confidence in God's abilities. What did he say? Pitch a bigger tent. Pitch a bigger tent. Now, that's not for the leaders. That's for you and I. And I didn't know who's going to be here tonight. I feel this tonight. There's restrictions that have been put on people. I feel like the Lord says, I want to break them off you tonight.
Amen.
Limitations, shake it off. Maybe it's this thing of, let me just read this here. Where is it? Sorry. Praise. Sing, barren woman. Sing, reign, to cry out, to shout for joy, to give a ringing cry. That word reigning comes rena, which means a shout of rejoicing, loud cheering and triumph. Here's what I want to say. Sing in the face of your barrenness.
Wow.
So what is that? Unfruitful season. Maybe for some it's been an unfruitful season. A wilderness experience. Feelings of inability. We've all had that. A dry season. Failed dreams and expectations. Failure to see breakthrough. Circumstances that have no apparent answers. Let's just close our eyes for a moment, please. We're not going to make anything happen. But I feel like all these points are important, but I feel honestly tonight the Lord says, I want to take things off. Maybe it's just the limitations. Maybe it's some of us just to shake the dust, this stuff. Maybe it's the pain of the season. Maybe it's the unmet expectation. Maybe dreams that we've had that haven't come to fruition. Maybe it's the hope to which you've been called.
Yeah,
friends, it's not like a prayer's going to work. It's like God wants to meet you right here, right now. I feel like some of us are waiting out this season because that's what we've been told to do. But God says, I want you in what I'm doing now. I think if this season has shown us anything, it's not a handful of people, it's all God's people. I love when they crossed the Jordan, it says all of them crossed. No one was left behind. They all crossed together. God is about all going together. And so while it's a corporate response, I do believe it's an individual one. I'm not going to make anything happen here tonight. And we're not going to go long because I want to honor your time. This is a season for the purposes of God. If you feel like you need to respond, any sense, would you just stand where you are? I'm not going to call you out. I'll just ask you to stand. I just want to pray over those who are standing. Just stand where you are. Let's do business with the Lord, friends. Let's come close. Let's draw close. Bow down. Draw close. Bow down. Let's line up. Let's rise up. Jesus, our eyes are on you. Everything around us that's been shaken, but you will never be shaken. Your rule and reign will never end. Your purposes and plans will never change. Even in the season where we have felt restrictions, where we have felt limitations, where the circumstances around us, though they real, they forced us to back off, to wait it out. We want to be true to who you've called us to. We don't want to be fleshy. We want to be led by you, Holy Spirit. We want to walk with you, Spirit. want to know you, know what you do. I want to come close. I want to be friends with you, Jesus. I just pray tonight in this room that you will release people tonight. Be broken, things that have held, things that have been spoken, things that have been said, things that have been revealed that have caused people to back off. I pray tonight you'll just remove, would you just remove those restrictions? Whether they be real or whether they be perceived, would you just remove them tonight? So church, rise up. People, rise up. So people trust you. Hope to which we have been called. We didn't put our hands up and say, choose me, Lord. You chose us. You called us. Pray those responsibilities, those who are running with responsibility that have outgrown the call. Pray tonight, the call of God. The hope to which we have been called will outweigh the responsibility. Does it feel like it's been a dry season? Lord, in the name of Jesus, would you release the river flow? Unmet expectations, would you get us to expect again? All the unknowns of the season, would you reveal your heart and your will, your voice to be the loudest voice? Where our disappointments of the season, friends, I really feel there's people who are carrying huge disappointment, real issues. I feel like God's let you down because something hasn't or has happened that you thought wouldn't happen. I just feel like the Lord's God, our Father, is just highlighting to not be disappointed. You can't live in this season with disappointment. You can't walk in the purpose of God feeling disappointed. I feel like the Lord's saying you need to let it go. Just let it go. I can bring healing to you right here if you just give it to me.
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making Him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.